Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com for more information and to start your application online. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
Testing, testing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see good group of men here tonight. Appreciate you driving at a distance. I just pulled in myself and count it a privilege to be able to preach this men's discipleship. I appreciate, amen, Pastor Suspansky. He's been my pastor for 30 years. Amen. This last February, it's been 30 years since he's been, amen, my pastor. I got saved in this church, not in this building, but in this church. In February of 1992, and we're in Norfolk, and God's been helping us. We've been, amen, holding the course, seeing people saved. Saw a bunch of folks saved over Easter Sunday. Most Sunday mornings, a good amount of people getting saved. And so, thanking God for all that God is doing. Praise the Lord. How many glad to be in men's discipleship tonight? Amen. When I joined the Marine Corps, back in 1988, I came in July of 1988, and in August 31st, there was a 19-year-old Lance Corporal, and he died in the Mojave Desert during the desert training exercise. Cause of death, they say, was dehydration and exposure, and they say that he walked from where he was left that night as a road guard, that he had walked some 17 miles in over 100 degree weather. If you know anything about desert training, your body burns a lot of water. You lose a lot of water. And so it had been over 44 hours. And the way they realized that he was unaccounted for was that they begin to count weapons at the armory. If any of you who have been in the service, you know how this is. And they start counting weapons, say, hey, we're missing one weapon. What they should have said is we're missing one Marine. But somehow that's what they caught. That's what caught it in the confusion and moving him from one platoon to another and different things. It was a arduous training. At one point, after he was missing, they sent over 1,000 Marines by foot. They had helicopters, they had thermal imaging gear, and they could not find them. They found his body in December. And so his death is commonly used as a training exercise these days to teach members of the military about the importance of accountability and responsibility. And I want to preach tonight a message I've entitled Accountability Should Be Your Best Friend. How many of you know we don't like to be accountable? Amen. We like blessing. We like all the goodies, but there is something about us that we don't like accountability. I want to pick up in 2 Samuel in a well-known portion of Scripture. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1 says this, "In the spring, at the time when kings march out to war, David sent Joab and his servants with the whole army of Israel, and they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Raba, but David remained in Jerusalem." Can anyone say unaccountable? Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we come tonight by the precious blood of your son, Jesus. God, I pray, God, that you would help us as a group of men. Help us, God, to subscribe to this very real truth, this very important truth about our salvation, our walk with you, and our discipleship tonight. God, I'm praying, God, that you would break through. I'm praying for a visitation of the Holy Ghost tonight in this service, in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people say, amen. David was supposed to be out to war. The Bible says that in the spring, at the time when kings went to war, David stayed behind. How many of you know he stayed in the rear with the gear instead of going out and fighting? And you know the horrendous and the horrible, amen, consequences. The first thing I want to consider tonight, and I'll talk a little more about David, and I'll talk a little bit more about the Lance Corporal, Jason Roth, who died in that desert. But there's something about man's nature to not want to be accountable. We sometimes do all we can and try not to be accountable to anyone if possible. We are all a little bit rebellious by nature. Can you say amen? And at times, we default to this place. We push back against the things of God. We push back against those things which are good for us, which are, amen, you know, which are right. We say things like, I don't have to do this, and I don't want to do that. Nobody has to tell me how to live. If we even be honest, sometimes in our early years of salvation, you know, we begin to wrestle with this thing, and we, you know, hey, the pastor is a man, just like me, and I don't have to give an account to him. No one's got to tell me how to live. How many of you know, there's probably all of us have said that at some point. We begin to say things, you know, when we hit young adulthood. I see this play out in, I have 3 adult children, but, you know, they were once teenagers. My boys, when they became, you know, young men in the 16, 17, they begin to tell me, you know, you can't tell me. Well, if you live in my house, then I tell you. Hello, you're going to be accountable in my house. Amen. I had one young teenager young girl came into the church. He's about 17, going to turn 18. And he said, I'm going to take her to the prom. And I said, no, you're not going to take her to no prom. You live in my house, there's no prom. And I don't know, you know, I guess I do know, but you probably ought not to be going to no prom. You ought to be accountable to Pastor Suspansky. And if you're a young man, you probably ought to forego the prom and the dance and whatever else goes with it. So I told my son, well, one Sunday morning, after I told him that, he turned 18, about the same time he turned 18, and he texts me. Normally we would go to church and for Sunday school, and, you know, he's getting at that age, he's pushing back, and he would always show up for service, never missed. And that morning he wrote me, sorry, Dad, I moved out. Well, now you're a man, you live on your own, and you know what? A month later, he took the girl to the prom. We begin to fight back on accountability. In our text, David somehow got too big for his britches. You know, in Bible days and even in ancient times, it was customary. It was your duty to go to battle with the men in your army. And this gave them great encouragement that they were leading from the front. And so maybe you remember a name like Darius. He was actually called the King of Kings, and he ruled a vast empire, and twice he went to battle with Alexander the Great. And whenever Alexander began to breach and get close to Darius, he would take off from the battlefield, and immediately the army would lose heart. Immediately word would get out that Darius, the king, had left the battlefield, and he was defeated both times. How many of you know David, in our text, was supposed to be accountable? He was supposed to be at the battle. when kings went out to war. Something happened in David's heart, and it's like he thinks he can play now by a different set of rules. But how many of you know he shirked off his responsibility, thinking there would be no consequences? No doubt people wonder, what are you staying behind? Why aren't you coming with us? Why aren't you going to fight with us? And how many of you know it was during that time, if you keep reading, it was at that time when he's putting his eyes on forbidden flesh. Can you say amen? If you put your eyes on forbidden flesh, it's going to hurt you. Flesh is going to bite you in the rear. And so if had he been where he was supposed to be, how many of you know he would not have been, amen, putting his eyes on Bathsheba? Hello? Isn't it interesting when somebody starts missing, they miss church, it's a little by little. And if you've ever called someone who's trying to shake off the things of God, they begin to get angry, they get agitated. You're like, hey, I didn't see you. You doing okay? Where are you? And they begin to get agitated. Hello. For some reason, David shook off. He shirked his responsibility. He remained back. And the rest is history. Obviously, a very dark season for David. He unleashed something that he no doubt regretted to the end of his days. And what a different story had it been if he went to war and not stayed back and got involved in things forbidden. What I find interesting about Cain and Abel is that when God questioned Cain about his brother, what does he do? He shirks his responsibility. And he says, am I my brother's keeper? Hello. In other words, he doesn't want to be accountable. Everybody say accountable. That, amen, can help you. That doesn't have to be your enemy. That's only, amen, your enemy when you're not living right. Amen. When you don't want to be transparent. When you don't want no one to observe how you are living. Accountability is built into our relationship with God and with others. Amen. It really is. Consider marriage. No doubt numbers of you are married and others, you know, you're not there yet, but consider marriage. There is no marriage, there is no good marriage without accountability. Amen? If you're thinking, well, I do whatever I want, whenever I want, and with whoever I want, well, then that's called being single. You might as well stay single if you're not willing to be accountable. Amen? Hello? And, you know, I pastor 20-some years now, and, you know, sometimes that's how some men are, you know, they don't want to be accountable, but you made an oath, amen, you made vows, and you're to be, amen, accountable to your spouse. Oh, amen. Think about if your wife gets up at 10 o'clock at night, and she leaves the house and doesn't come back until the morning, and then you ask her, where were you? And she tells you, what, are you my boss? I don't got to answer to you. I mean, you know, you're not going to have a real good marriage. Hello. It's not acceptable, some of these things. But how many of you know some of the things that we don't accept, we expect God to accept? This is true of raising kids, knowing where they are at all times. Amen. Forget about trying to be one of those cool parents. Hello. This is the age of people wanting to be a cool parent. Amen. No, that's my best friend. And you know what? I love my kids and have a good relationship with them, but you know what? They're still my kids. Amen. If you don't put boundaries on your children or put some kind of restrictions on them, you will see what kind of monster you create. Hello. If you don't hold them to certain things, if you're not putting some boundaries in their life. Imagine if you own a thriving business and your employees come whenever they feel like it. No regard for the schedule. Just tonight, us walking into the prayer room, and I talked to my brother, and I said, hey, how's the business? He goes, man, I'm looking for some employees, ones that will work, ones that will show up. Hello. How many of you know everybody's trying to skate these days? But imagine you own a business, it's thriving, and your employees come and leave whenever they want. No regard for the schedule. No regard for the duties that have been assigned to them. You see, when God made man, he placed them in the garden and he gave them much liberty. Amen. But he told them they would have to live within and function within certain parameters. And he would hold them accountable. Amen. When they crossed those boundaries, the Bible says God came down and dealt with them. Amen. How many of you know God will deal with us when we cross those boundaries? Say amen. Because it's true. And see, you can't separate the two. You can't separate your relationship from God and your accountability to Him.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
Let me give you a working definition tonight. Amen. What the dictionary says. It's the fact, accountability, the fact or condition, being accountable, responsibility. Amen. It's, you know what? It's answerability. It's being able to answer for your actions. It's accountability. It's obedience. Amen. It's reporting. How many of you know when you come to church, you're being accountable? Accountability is the acceptance of responsibility for honest and ethical conduct towards others. A wider sense, accountability implies a willingness to be judged on performance. Amen. One key takeaway is that it is the acceptance of responsibility for one's own actions and a willingness to be transparent, allowing others to observe and evaluate one's performance. How many of you know, after a sermon like this one tonight, people will kind of like, it'll be fresh and you'll be like, you know what? I'm going to let Pastor know when I'm not in church. I know some people who have taken this and twisted it, and they're very, very good at being accountable. I mean, they text every sermon. I'm not going to be there tonight, but I'm just being accountable. Hello? Some of you laugh because some of you have tried that game. Hey, I am very accountable. I tell Pastor all the time when I'm not going to be in church. The problem is we never see you in church. This is the game that they play after I preach like this. They'll get real good. Pastor, I'm not going to be there. Pastor, I'm not going to be at outreach. Pastor, I'm not going to be, and I'm like, that's not the, no. We want you to be accountable. We want you to be there. Hello. Now let's think about Jason Rother. His life was cut short. 19 years old, August the 31st, 1988. I almost came with a family photo of myself and my wife, my three adult children, and my five grandsons. In August 31st of 1988, I was 18 years old in the Marine Corps, just like Jason. The difference was that as they're doing now the study on accountability, they use Jason as the example, not what to do. Amen. And so they did a study, and there's probably some people here who know a little bit about it. But how many of you know, because of this failure, this young Marine, Lance Corporal, 19 years old at the time, his life was cut short. In the process, a bunch of people went to court-martial. Careers were ended. People were put out of the Marine Corps. Their lives were destroyed. Jason's mother and father were devastated. And now this is the case study for accountability in the military. Hello, how many of you know that doesn't have to be you or I? We don't have to be the case study. What happened to so-and-so? Man, he just would not allow accountability to work in his life. He would not embrace accountability. Amen. We fight it instead of embracing it. Can you say amen? Listen, the blessing of accountability is several things. One of those is that it motivates us to do right. How many know that when someone is watching, you do better? Hello? When someone knows where you're at, how many of you know you tend to behave better than when no one knows where you're at, what you're doing? And so the blessing of accountability is that it motivates us. When we know someone's going to be checking up on us, it has a positive effect on our character. People everywhere want other people to think well of them. And therefore, they work harder on the projects that they are held accountable to. When someone makes a decision to change something in their life, but is unwilling to be held accountable, it reveals his lack of commitment and his lack of character. I read an article that says when someone sets financial, fitness, or faith goals, but refuses accountability, the odds are that they are just dreamers and not doers. The person who sets goals with intentional accountability over them is more apt to achieve them. Maybe you want to memorize a chapter of scripture. There will be a blessing in being held accountable because, one, you have given your word and now your character is at stake. Two, you are motivated, or you may motivate the one holding you accountable to do the same. I want to pause here and then finish reading. But, you know, I really believe in this topic that I'm preaching tonight. Amen. I've been pastoring in Norfolk for 17 years, and I just made it my business not to call pastor and give him excuses about not being here for conference and pioneer rallies and harvesters and then sermon workshops and all the different things, you know, that go on here for years. I just put it on the calendar and I come. I show up. Say amen. I think it was 7 or 8 years ago when Pastor gave me the green light. And, you know, it's an 8-hour round trip for us, plus stopping and maybe getting something to eat. It's 10 hours easy round trip. And 7 or 8 years ago, Pastor gave me the green light, says you can do men's discipleships there in the Hampton Roads. And we've been doing those faithfully. But besides that, I'm here. I'm accountable. I want to be here. Amen. Hello. Prior to that, we were in Florida for 5.5 years. And we drove up 14 hours, 28 hours round trip. We came. Amen. We didn't call and make excuse. We're into this. Amen. We believe in this. It works. It works, you know, if you do what we do. I know that may sound cliche, but what we do works if you do it. Hello. The thing about it is that we want to build churches. I know a number of pioneer pastors. You want to build a church and you want to hold those young converts. You want to teach them to be accountable. Well, then you also have to be accountable. Can you say amen? Accountability allows us to prove ourselves before others, which builds inner confidence and integrity. Wise is the person who knows his own weakness or weaknesses and chooses to place himself under accountability to many. If you have an addiction, maybe you're a new convert here and you're battling with something, and it is destroying your life and your testimony, place yourself under a few people who would check up on you. They say that, you know what, the truth is, if you do that, you have more people praying for you, which you need, as well as help you overcome the sin which so easily besets you. Accountability is allowing someone to check up on you and on your work. It's allowing someone to be brutally honest with you. Can I say something tonight? Don't just come when you're feeling good. What I've noticed over the years is that when men feel good, they come to pastor. I know you've done this because I've probably done it too. You say, when you're feeling good, you come and say, Pastor, if you see anything in me, just let me know. How many of you know that's when you're feeling good? That's when you've been doing right. You're nice and transparent. That's when you want to make eye contact with pastor and say, anything you see, you just let me know. That's because right there's nothing right there. But how about a month from now? How about 3 months from now? Down the road, when you see pastor at the door, but you make a beeline for the other way. Hello? When you just time your steps just right so you don't have to make eye contact. Come on now. Don't be acting like that, like you don't know what I'm talking about. Counting the ceiling tile. I can tell you later on how many ceiling tiles this building has. It's allowing someone to be honest. How many of you know we need some people to be brutally honest with us? Amen? Do you have someone that can be brutally honest with you? Can a peer or maybe a leader in the church, especially pastor, can he speak into your life? Can he correct you? Say, Pastor Morales, has pastor ever corrected you, rebuked you? Absolutely. Amen. He has. And he has the right to do that. It hurts, but you'll get over it. Amen. Can I throw you a little freebie? Anybody want a little freebie? You think he remembers all of them, but he doesn't. That's the problem. We'd be like, 20 years later, you're thinking he flushed that. That thing has been gone from his memory so long. I mean, I have people that come to me years down the road. Pastor, I go, I don't remember any of that. They're still whole. It's fresh to them. They remember it every morning when they wake up. The truth is, listen, we deal with some stuff and then it's gone. Hello. And so, but can someone be brutally honest with you? Can you be accountable? This is for your blessing. You know, years ago, a fella in Indonesia, he's working for the Bank of England. And his name was, let me find it real quick. His name was Nick Leeson. Nick Leeson was a rising young trader at the England's Baring Bank in 1995. I mean, he's an up-and-coming And he lost $1.3 billion in 1995 of the bank's money in risky, what they call derivatives, trading big chunks of money in the market. These were unauthorized derivative trading. As a result, the bank that had been open for 230 years had to collapse because this guy had nobody to hold them accountable. He's there trading. He lost $200 million. In order to regain the $200 million, he did more risky bets to try to recover. He ended up losing $1.3 billion. That's over $1,000 million. Here's a guy, he's all by himself. He's got no supervisors. He's trading away, and this bank that had been open for 230 years had to close its doors. How many of you know it's to your benefit and my benefit that there's somebody over us? Can you say amen? That we're accountable to other people. I'm accountable to my wife. Hello. I'm accountable to my church. I'm accountable to my church council. Pastor. How many of you know pastor is accountable? He has a pastor. How many of you know there's a real blessing in having a pastor? But in order to be blessed by having a pastor, you have to be willing to be pastored. You can't just take the good. Amen. Oh, yeah, he's my pastor. Well, how do you think me and pastor for 30 years, how do you think we've done that? Well, I will say this. Every year before I do my calendar, I try to start my first meeting. I start with Pastor Suspansky. Hello. Put down pastor and have him come. And in the last couple of years, I've been having him come twice. Men's discipleship, harvesters, revival, different things. I want him to come. I want his influence in my church. Amen. I am teaching my men. Amen. Subliminally, I'm teaching my men. Hey, that's what I expect. This is how this works. If we hold each other accountable, can you say amen? If you know a little bit of the history of our fellowship, this was what some leaders in times past, leaders who had strong churches, big churches, lots of people, lots of churches out, but they would never have Pastor Mitchell in to preach in their church. What they were saying was, I don't want to be accountable to you. And as the years went by, those men don't have churches no more. And some of them don't have marriages either. And how many of you know if we would just be accountable one to another? If we would submit ourselves to our pastor and be, amen, transparent. Can you say amen tonight? If you really want to grow and mature, if you really want to have fruit in your life, then you have to embrace accountability. Has to be your friend. It cannot be your enemy. It cannot be something that you push against. You have to be accountable to someone. Amen. Too often we seek accountability with those who have less character than us. Amen. How many of you know you can go, yeah, I'm accountable to this guy. Yeah, but this guy isn't doing really good. I'm accountable to him. But he never comes to church. Why would you be accountable to him? Be accountable to someone who is, amen, who's cutting edge. Hello. But we often seek accountability with people of less character than us. And therefore, they will let us off the hook when we fail. This keeps us feeling comfortable with our bad character. But what we need are people who will ask us why we failed and find out if it was a character flaw or an emergency that kept us from completing our task or being faithful. Can you say amen? How many of you know we're still called to be faithful? If you really think about it, these two words, accountability and this word faithfulness, being faithful, they're almost synonymous. Amen. They, you know, for what we're talking about, what we're trying to, amen, accomplish here tonight. How many of you know they're two in the same? To be accountable, to be faithful. We want everybody to be faithful to us. We want God to be faithful to us. Can you say amen? They say the best volunteer workers are those who are willing to be held accountable for their action and their work. Those who refuse accountability are often more of a hindrance than a help. Amen. I want to begin to quickly bring this to a close. How many remember three men in succession? Elijah, Elisha, and Gehazi. How many of you know there's a difference between Elijah and Elisha? I'm emphasizing that because it took me 10 years to figure that out. I know you got it on the first service, the day you got saved. I know there's a difference between Elijah and Elisha, but it took me a while. I would always get it. But how many of you know Elijah was Elisha's pastor? How many know that? And Elijah did some incredible miracles. Amen? There's some incredible stuff about Elijah. And then he had a disciple who was named Elisha. And remember, Elisha told Elijah, I want what you have. I want a double portion. And in 2 Kings 2:10, it says, Elijah told Elisha, you have asked or you have requested a difficult thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. How many of you know he's putting something into this disciple? This disciple is asking for a hard thing. He's saying, I want what you have. I want to do what you're doing. How many of you know Elijah says, if you do what I do, then you'll have what I have. And you'll get a double portion. If you see me, in other words, he's not just saying, if you see me from a distance, if you're off doing your thing. He says, but if you're doing what I'm doing and you see me when the chariots come down, then you will have it. But if not, then it will not be so, he tells him. But how many of you know that brother, he made himself, amen, one with his pastor. How many of you know he allowed Elijah to hold him accountable, right? This is the same one who said, hey, I want, he goes, go and get rid of your, and he burns up the yoke of oxen and he joins. He's accountable. Amen. He's faithful. This is how we build churches. This is how churches get with faithful comers.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. I was a missionary in Guatemala for almost 16 years. And I thought that the only inheritance I'd leave my kids was the most important one, the spiritual legacy. When God brought me back to the United States, my family had only our clothes and computer. Since then, God has blessed me financially, and not through having a big church. Find out how you can steward your finances to prosperity and bless your children. Show them that serving God has blessings both here on earth and in the future in heaven. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.
I often thank the people in my church, and I know Pastor does too. I've heard them. We thank faithful people. Can you say amen? Because it's a rare quality this day. People want easy believism. People want, you know, a religion that costs them nothing. And so it is a very rare thing these days when people will be faithful and they'll be accountable. Amen. Bible tells us that each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. You know, I close with the fact that we've all heard that parable of the talents, and there's the one who's given five talents, and you know the story. He multiplies those five talents, and now he has 10. There's the one who receives the two talents. And we're not talking abilities. We're not talking about being able to play guitar and sing on one foot or whatever. You know, talents, we're talking about a sum of monies. And the Bible says he gave five to one, two to another, one to the other. And so you pick this up in Matthew 25, and the Bible says that he who received five, he went and he traded. He was faithful, and he knew that he was going to give an account. How many of you know, how many realize tonight that we're going to give an account? Amen? That all that we do, whether it's in the public or whether it's in secret, we're going to give an account. And these two men, the two out of three, they realize this. I'm a man of under authority. I was told to do certain thing. And they went, and you know what? They get a good report. The man who came with the five talents of gold, he says to the master, you've entrusted me with five bags of gold. I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. How many of you know we like that? You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Can anyone say amen to that? Hello, we like that when they say, hey, you're in charge of all this. Yeah, that's me. I'm the boss. The question is, can you be faithful with the little things? His master replied, or then the man who received two talents, same testimony, same response. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Talking out of the NIV here. Then the man who received one bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. Here is what belongs to you. How many of you know that when we don't want to be held accountable what we'll end up doing is making a lot of excuses. I'd much rather be like the first two guys who, you know, instead of making excuse, they said, hey, you told me to do this. I went and did this, and here's the multiplication. Can you say amen? Instead of being the one who makes excuse, right? The one who, you know, you were a hard man, and you know what, and I didn't trust you, and it's just blah, 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 blah. How many of you know excuses are a dime a dozen? His master replied, wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker, so when I return, I would have received it back with interest. And how many of you know he doesn't get a good, enter good and faithful servant? How many of you know he's not told, I'm going to give you, you've been faithful in a little, I'm going to give you more. How many of you know, on the contrary, is take that one talent and give it to the guy who has 10. Talk about woke. How many of you know the Democrats would hate that? Hello. You're going to take from this guy who's got just one and give it to the guy who's got 10. That ain't fair. Hello. How many of you know the Bible is totally contrary to a lot of the shenanigans that we hear every day? Jesus said, take from this guy who's unfaithful, who's unaccountable. Hello. And give it to the guy who is. Amen. Listen, there's the blessing. And I want to end on a good note there. There's the blessing. How many of you know there's blessing for us? But it does involve embracing something that doesn't always come natural to our flesh, and that is accountability. If you're accountable to your wife, listen, how many here are married tonight? And I'm going to shut up here. Well, that's most of you. How many wish you were married here tonight? There's a few of you. I'll just ask Pastor at conference. Listen, I've been married 30 years. I think Pastor's been like 47, I think. Is that about right, Pastor? 48? 49. I'm losing track. 49 years of marriage. I've been married 30. I'll be 31 years with my wife. But how many of you know what makes for a good marriage is what I'm talking about tonight. There's trust. There's a lot of built-in trust. Hello. And my wife knows where I'm at all the time. That's a blessing, bro. If you want a good marriage, especially if you have had some hiccups in the past, if you've had some failures in the past, then you've got to be extra accountable to your wife. Can you say amen? Don't be like the brother, one brother that I know who's like, well, I said sorry and I'll try to, you know, yeah, but you mess up here, bro. You got years of paying your dues. It's just better if you don't mess up. And it really helps your marriage. It's a great blessing. Amen. Even if you want to be, how many of you want to be used by God? You want blessing in your life as used by God in ministry and fruitfulness. Man, it involves this. It involves being accountable. And that doesn't mean sending pastor text messages that you're not going to be in church. You know how you be fruitful? By being in church. Hello. Now imagine that. I know some people who are good at witnessing and giving me names. Pastor, I pray with so-and-so. They always let me know when they pray with somebody. But how many of you know it really helps if you come to church? So when that person comes in, because they will come when you least expect it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when you're in church and that person comes in, they find you. Amen. In church, it makes tremendous impact. So much of our blessing comes by embracing, amen, accountability. Can you say amen? I want every head bowed. I want every eye closed for just a few moments.
Pastors, disciples, ministry leaders, how many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider, 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.